Vanya.
Hi, Meg Jensen.
We're here. We're doing it. It's you know, it's a minor miracle every week.
I know. It really is. Is it cold there?
It is not too bad today. And yesterday, it's windy right now. We have the winds happening. But it was super cold over the weekend. I will say, have I talked about this? That I finish my shower every day with a cold shower.
You're so crazy. Yeah.
It's funny because I know that you hate it.
Brr.
And I really like it. It's funny because my friend Elise was like way to ruin a wonderful experience. But there's something about it that's very refreshing to me and very invigorating. But so what I do is I take a normal shower.
Yeah.
And then I basically turn the water to as cold as it can go. And then I count to 20 as it's just on like my face. And then like I kind of like my legs and my back, that kind of thing. Like I do like a full minute. And it's funny that in the summer, it's like lukewarm.
Right.
But like today, I got brain freeze.
Oh, no.
Like it was so cold. I was like, you can do it. You can do it. I don't know. It's a weird thing that I enjoy for some reason.
Well, I think a lot of people are like loving it. It makes you feel kind of, you know, it pushes some endorphins out.
It does. It's supposed to be good for like your heart and your lungs. And let's face it, it's supposed to help your metabolism, which is the actual reason why I do it. Because why do I do anything?
You're like, I just want to be skinny.
Burn 2 calories. I know, basically. Yeah, that's kind of the true story.
At least you have a goal, you know.
I do.
I just want to really be comfortable. Basically.
I feel you. There's nothing wrong with that. We live in uncomfortable times.
And I know it's been actually pretty warm here, but it's really like cold, gets so cold at night, like in the 30s here. And so then when you wake up, it's freezing. But then when I go to pick up children, it's 70 something degrees. It's crazy every day. But I was like, I had to run today to warm my body up because I was like, I'm so cold.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, because I feel like in New York, we'll have like a low of, like when it's cold, it's like a low of 20 something and a high of 30 something. I feel like the temperature variation in New York is not that wide.
Not as drastic.
Whereas like, I think about like when we're in our hometown and it'll be like a high of 102 and a low of 40. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's a crazy differential in like the highs and lows.
Because it gets cold at night, yeah. Dessert. Yeah. We're in the dessert.
Yep. We are. How's your week been?
This week has been good. I got to see my friend who lost their home, girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And it was so good to see her and the kids and her husband. And just like, it's, you know, it's the hardest thing because you just want to like fix the problem for people. And it's like such a huge, long, there's a long road to all the recovery. And it's just, my goodness, you know, it's, I don't know. Anyway, just, I know I'm like, hi, I'm here if you need anything. I love you so much. But it just sucks kind of all around.
Yeah. Are they staying with family for now?
They have a friend who has a place that they're letting them stay in for 2 months because they're not there. So.
Okay.
So that's good. At least they have that. And, you know, they're doing the best they can. But it's just, you know, and they have little kids and getting used to a new area with, you know, needing childcare because they're trying to figure their lives out and deal with FEMA and deal with everything. But I will say that the place they're staying is on the beach, so that's doesn't suck, and that's nice.
Not terrible.
Yeah, and her husband was kind of like, it's weird because we're displaced, but we're in this like magical place for 2 months, and then it doesn't feel real, basically. But who knows, or wherever they would be right now if anything feels weird. You know, my other friends are actually staying another person's house that who aren't there in West Hollywood, and you know, it's just like, you think about it, like you go on vacation for 10 days and you're really ready to go home, you know. So these poor folks are just, it's just fucking sucks, excuse my language, but it's just not fair.
Right.
And I don't know, my heart just like, it bleeds and I'm like, stay with me forever. I'm just kidding. But otherwise the week has been, you know, it's busy with the kids. It's crazy. I feel like there's so many sports and so many things that we have to go to. But on a good note, I have been making some strides with my company that I'm building and creating. And I'm listening to that book, which it should be what I am digging. But it is, I'm digging it, but I'm not going to make it my digging.
Gotcha.
It's called The Let Them Theory, and it's Mel Robbins. And if you know, you know, if you love self-helpy stuff, and a lot of people follow her, but the book's great. I'm listening to it on Audible. But it's been giving me, like, whenever I get scared and sort of want to, like, shut down and stop planning and doing my stuff for this endeavor that I'm trying, it's really helping me move forward. And actually, there was a section on love that I thought was very interesting, which I liked. I haven't talked about this book yet, have I?
You mentioned it really briefly because of something that I was talking about last week, but you haven't really.
Yes. Okay. So that's, yeah, I'm really loving that. So I'm listening. I'm trying to listen to that. I'm trying to work out. I did not work out yesterday, and I got really freaked out and depressed because of what's going on in the news and stuff like that. And I just get scared, you know. It's not even the tariff stuff. I mean, I already got let go because of that from my past job. And that's why I'm like, you have faith, Vanya. There's a reason you got let go. Just keep pushing towards the light. Be pushing towards the light. But anyways, I digress.
Yeah.
But like yesterday, the whole thing with like Trump giving Elon Musk the keys to all of our financial stuff, that like made me sick to my stomach. I heard Elizabeth Warren talking about it, and I'm just like, and then, you know, when you're alone, because I'm alone trying to build my business by myself, I'm not like in an office or with people. I mean, I could probably call somebody and be like, I'm feeling scared and I need to talk. But, you know, and then I pick up the kids and they don't know. But I was just like freaked and my husband didn't get home till like super late last night. Anyways, otherwise, it's hard to, and I know we talk about this all the time, it's hard to like say, okay, I know for my health, I shouldn't be looking at the news. But then there's things that I'm like, oh, are people really losing Medicare? Are we not giving children, are we taking away protections of children if they have any sort of differences in gender? I mean, like, what the fuck is happening? So, highs and lows this week. How about you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, on the political front, it is tough because it really felt like, and it still feels like a bit, though it feels like this is changing a tiny bit, that like Democrats have been so kind of like busy licking their wounds that there hasn't been a lot of pushback. There hasn't been a lot of like outrage.
What the hell?
But it feels like it is starting. Like, it feels like there's like with, like you were talking about, yeah. And like I do see,
I hope
like
the AOC Republicans are. Like, this is just American, we should be freaking out. Or is it that the people who voted for him are just like so, like, I don't know, blinded by what they thought he would do, and that he would never put us in jeopardy. Is that why? I don't understand. I'm not trying to learn to know. I just am like, it scares me because I think, you know, countries currently aren't in great, not our country, but like other countries aren't doing great in certain things. There's war, there's, you know, all kinds of things. And I just watched a play on National Theater called Nye, and it's about like this guy named Nye. I'm not going to get into it, but it goes back into the times where, you know, Winston Churchill had to like get people to help defeat Hitler. And I'm like, the Hitler stuff is terrifying because people keep comparing it. And I'm like, are we fucking kidding me here, people? Like, that's insane. I'm scared. That scares me because, you know, the Armenians were genocided out, you know, million Armenians killed. And there's that famous quote that Hitler was like, no one remembers the Armenian genocide, so nobody's going to remember the, you know, Jewish genocide. And now, I mean, he's not trying to kill anybody yet, but he's putting, and like ICE here in California, like the school districts are instructed to basically like, don't let, if people are in, lock your classroom door, because they're taking kids.
We have it at the restaurant. Like we've had to put up signs that are basically like, you cannot go beyond this point. And it's literally like, you have to have permission from management, which they're never going to give, or like a warrant. And yeah, but it's hard because on one hand, like, I don't want to be alarmist. Like, I don't want to be like, the Hitler stuff is kind of rough. But I also, you know, a good friend of mine who that's her background, like her background is in German studies. And she talked about the first time that he was running of like, he does use the rhetoric of that era. Like it does feel like that game plan. And this whole thing of like, here were the five steps that brought Germany to that point. And like, we're in between 2 and 4 right now, like depending on who you ask or what you're looking at, like we're theoretically almost at the end of that plan. So I don't know. I think that it's being aware, like we talk about this every week, like being as aware as you can without making yourself crazy.
Yeah.
But you know, but being aware and like, people do need to be pushing back. And you're right. It shouldn't be a Democratic Republican thing. Like, Republicans should be terrified by what's happening as well. And it's also, this was funny enough, almost my, you know, thing that I'm digging. It is something that I really, really enjoyed. My friend Claire is now also reading Demon Copperhead, the book that I talked about last week. And she sent me, so the author, Barbara Kingsolver, was on Armchair Expert like a year or so ago. Yeah. And so I listened to that episode and whatever about the format and, you know, but it's a fascinating interview. And she's so smart. Like, she's so smart. I want to be her best friend. And and she talks about, because, you know, the big thing of Demon Copperhead is that, you know, it takes place in Appalachia. It takes place in Kentucky. And that's where she still lives to this day. And part of what she was trying to do, and I didn't realize this, and she was like, I don't want to give this guy credit for the book, but a big part of her writing this book was in response to Hillbilly Elegy and her feeling that the person who wrote that book was not being honest, that he was not telling his true story, that he was sort of like spinning a yarn, and that she wanted to write the truth about what it is like being in that area and growing up in that area and how they are treated. And part of it was her frustration. And this is brought, this is a theme in the book. It's a thing that's brought up, is that we, and when I say we, I'll say like the coastal elites, we love to make fun of that. We love to make fun of that region, and we like to look down on them. And that, particularly for liberals, that population is sort of the last accepted group that we can make fun of loudly, that we can mock. And I get it. And it's hard because I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that person that groups entire populations into one side or the other.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know where I got this from, but I always, like, I have that phrase of, like, there are two types of people, those that group people into two types of people and those that don't. Yeah. And I think that there's a truth to that. I don't want to lump a group all into one category. But on the other hand, I have that hard thing where I'm like, you so continuously, it feels like that group as a whole continues to vote against their own best interest. And once again, the book and her conversation goes what this comes from, that like now I'm using the we as in, like, I guess I'm saying like the government and those in power have taken everything from them. Like, we took the coal industry, we took every industry that involved, we've made them, this is the point of the book that I'm making not nearly as gracefully as she did, but like, they were a people who lived off the land. And the problem is the government can't tax that.
Ah.
So in order for the government to tax them, we had to give them jobs that were taxable. Like, we had to give them incomes that were monetary, which changed huge ways of life.
Interesting.
Anyways, I'm not saying this nearly as intelligently as I want to, but it's just hard. Like, yeah, that's where my brain goes with that type of situation. And then it has been, you know, like, we didn't watch it at the same time, but we were both watching the Fire Aid concert. And, you know, so many amazing performances. I have to say, like, you know who made me smile the most, I think, was Gwen Stefani. Like, she was just so like fun, and like, just her smile and her way that, I was a big No Doubt fan, and I like Gwen Stefani. I haven't really followed her as much, but like, she just had so much joy, and like, they do so represent, you know, Southern California.
For sure.
And, you know, it was sort of the juxtaposition of like that fun performance and the like really interesting people on stage, and then Nick seeing this destruction. And and you were talking about with your/our friends who've lost their homes. I'm really curious, man. I hope that I don't know that there's any bright side to what has happened, but I hope that like California figures it out. Like, I hope that someone is in charge and figures out how can we make this the best possible outcome from this horrible, horrible situation. You know, watching the Grammys, and Trevor Noah was saying at the end that just from those that were watching, they'd raised $7 million during telecast. Yeah, and like, that's, you know, I'm hoping that people in the room, that some of them have some money, like, I'm hoping that...
Definitely.
I would like to know how much has been raised, and then I want to know who's going to be in charge of it, and I want to know how it's going to be taken care of. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like... I feel like we as a culture and a country are handed opportunities to show what we can do. And sometimes we get it right, and so often we don't. And I just want this to be a situation where we get it right.
I think a lot of people have an investment to get it right, you know? And I really hope so too. They have a town hall every morning, or not every morning, every Wednesday morning. And each person from each department, you know, gives an update. And it's been, I mean, it's jarring and nerve-wracking and whatever, but it's also, you know, we've got our military people there. They give their update of like how they're doing cleanup, and there's different phases. So listening to all that, it feels like there's organization. It's really scary out in Palisades though, because there's only two ways in and, you know, two ways in and out, Sunset and then the PCH. And that's really rough. So one thing my friend was mentioning was that, like, you know, you can't have, it's not going to go fast when you have, like, right, you know, however many hundreds of people trying to build a home. Yeah, yeah. So it's complicated. And yeah. I am hopeful for that, because I feel like California is a good place and people really want things to be eco-friendly. You know what I mean? Like, everything, if people want to rebuild in a way that is going to be not like straw, you know, we're going to build our houses strong, hopefully.
Right. Yeah,
it's just going to take a while.
That's my hope. Yeah.
That's all.
Did you get to watch any of the Grammys?
I did. I watched up to, let's see, after Chappell Roan performed, I think. It was great. So far, I've been really enjoying it. Yeah, I've been really loving it.
It was a super fun show. And I can't tell if it's because I was sort of more invested this year, because I actually did know a lot of the nominees. Yeah. But it just felt like such a... And once again, maybe it's the juxtaposition between what's happening in the world. But it felt so joyful. And
absolutely,
it felt so... Even the moments that were... Like, there were a lot of political statements that were made.
And Shakira, and they were love you.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, what is she doing? Like,
I know.
Jesus.
It's just good genes. She definitely probably has Botox and filler, but like, she looks like herself, which is crazy.
Yeah,
but some people are just pretty. I mean, my mom has never done anything and she looks amazing, you know.
Very true.
I think it's genes, genetics.
Yeah, and I thought that Chappell Roan was great, and I really, like, I kind of wanted her to pick up another trophy or two, but there were moments in the telecast that calmed me. I will say that when Cowboy Carter won for country, I kind of took a breath and was like, okay, all right, so that's because you know that they put Taylor Swift up there to give Beyonce that award. You know the plan was, they were like, this better go the way we want it to go.
So that was relaxing.
Yeah, and
I
that
love
album
that
was
album.
So great. It's a great album. It's a fantastic album. And then Chappell Roan getting the award for Best New Artist was a calming moment where I was like, okay, that felt... And I, you know, listen, there was a part of me that was pulling for Ray, because I love that they let almost all of the, you know, new artist nominees kind of like had their moment to shine. And
yeah,
and she was, I don't know if you got to watch her portion of the performance, but
Oh my gosh,
it's incredible. Like, what she does is really phenomenal.
I'm excited.
I was really happy for Chappell Roan. And then of course, you know, the ending, like,
I didn't see the ending. What happens?
Well, Beyonce wins.
I actually know who wins. And I love her so much. I'm in the 1% of listeners for Beyonce. So you could just, I'm beyond.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. On Spotify, funny. I am in the top 1%, which is kind of intense. I didn't know I listened that much, but I guess I do.
So that was, it felt like a very, very satisfying night. I don't know the song that won for song and record of the year. So
which one? Who won?
It's Kendrick Lamar. It's that Not One of Us. I think my only understanding is that it's like a Drake diss track. So I was kind of like, that's going to be record and song of the year. Okay.
Right.
I just don't know. I was kind of hoping for Chappell to get in there somewhere.
You know who I love is St. Vincent. And that
I was going to bring that up because I bought that
amazing
album because of you. Because the album won for album in its
rock
category.
Yeah.
And they won for two different categories for song.
Yeah.
Because Flea won in one category and the song that you love,
Broken Man.
Yeah, that one song
so
in another category. So like they did, they did very, very well. So good for them.
Fun stuff. Super fun stuff.
Yeah.
I love that. That's kind of our topic, right? Like we did our topic first. Or do you have another?
We kind of did, but I have a different topic.
Ooh.
That you may choose to not want to talk about. It's going to be you. I'm going to be asking you some questions.
Okay.
And much like Terry Gross would say, if it feels too personal, feel free to not answer this.
But should we do what we're digging first?
Yeah, let's do digging first. Because I ended the last episode by saying that I was going to go see a scary movie.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's what I'm going to talk about.
Do it. Because
it was a really, really fascinating film. And here's the thing. It wasn't scary.
What'd you see again?
It's not a scary movie at all. It's called Presence.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's a new film from Steven Soderbergh, written by David Koepp, I think is how you say his name. And it's like, even the poster is like the scariest film you'll see all year. It's not scary. It's not even kind of scary, really.
Okay.
It's very atmospheric. It's very interesting. It's the story of a family moving into a new house following a tragedy of some kind, and I won't get too into it. But here's the thing. The entire film, and this isn't a spoiler because someone said it in a review, like, and it establishes pretty quickly. The entire film is told from the point of view of the presence in this house.
Oh, whoa.
So, like, we're seeing it from the quote-unquote eyes of whatever this presence is, whether it's a ghost or... So every scene is a one-er. Every scene is one take as this ghost kind of goes through the house and watches them, and you sort of to figure out what this presence is and what they're doing. It's really fascinating. I think they made it for, like, a couple million dollars. Like, they filmed it in like 18 days or something like that.
Wow.
In location in this house. It's a tiny cast. Like, it's Lucy Liu, who I've been a huge fan of since Ally McBeal days, and Chris Sullivan, who was in he was This Is Us, he was the husband,
right? Yes.
Anyway, and then like these two younger actors that I don't know from anything, and I don't know, it was a really interesting for me. It was almost just the audacity of it I found to be so interesting that I want films like that to do well enough that more films like that can be made, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, I love it.
Sure.
I love when a chance is taken. I find that to be really fascinating. So
I
fully recommend it, and don't be afraid, because it's not scary.
Okay.
Like, there are one or two sort of chill inducing moments, but not in a scary way, just in a like a sort of a moving, you know, effective kind of way. So I definitely suggest it. Presence.
Okay. Presence.
In theaters now. Check it out.
All theaters.
How about you? What you digging?
Okay, so Mike, I sent you a monologue yesterday.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so I've been trying to, because the company that I'm starting is in the smallest way to say it, is a like children's performance company. So it's basically kids. And by, I think maybe 18 and under, you know, like I want to do teenagers, and who knows, maybe I'll do adults someday. But point is it's like, it's called the Performers Creative Lab, and it's a place where we can create, we're going to learn technique through classics, but we're also going to create new works, film, you know, theater, and I'm going to do improv classes too, because you know what? Improv games are the most fun, and they help kids and people in so many ways. Anyways, why am I talking about this? Oh, because I am looking for inspiration. You know,
sure.
You know, we don't live in New York anymore, and yes, we live here, but like the Pantages right now is, they're producing Wicked. Great. I mean, I've seen Wicked 7 times. So, you know what I mean? Like, and I don't, right. I can't quite like pop out to go see theater. So
sure. The
National Theater, which is, you know, Great Britain, has online, so you can watch plays online. So I'm trying to get through as many as I can and kind of be re-inspired by art again. And that happens through movies, of course, when I see something amazing. But, okay, I sent Mike this monologue, and I will find a way to share it with everybody. It's from a play called People, Places, and Things. It's by Duncan MacMillan, and it's basically about this woman named Emma who is an actress, and she ends up going into rehab for drugs and alcohol, or she checks herself in. But this monologue, Mike, I'm not going to read you the monologue, but it's the most moving. I don't know if anything's got me like that. I just like burst. I coughed and started sobbing. Like, she said one thing and I just like, and I just want to, I just want to say what she said that made me, and I don't know, it won't get you, but she says, with a play, you get instructions, stage directions, dialogue. Someone clothes you, tells you where to be and when. You get to live the most intense moments of life over and over again, with all the boring bits left out. And you get to practice for weeks, and you're applauded. Then you get changed, leave through the stage door, bus home, back to real life, all the boring stuff left in waiting. Temping, answering phones, and serving canapes. Nothing permanent. Can't plan. Can't get a mortgage or pay for a car. Audition comes in. Try to look right. Sit in a room surrounded by people who look just like you, all after the same part. Never hear back. Or if you do get the part, it'll be sitting around in rehearsal and backstage making less than you did temping. you make these friendships with people, a little family, fall in love on stage and off, and then it's over and you don't see them again. You try not to take it personally when people who aren't as good as you get the parts, but you keep going because sometimes, if you're really lucky, you get to be on stage and say things that are absolutely true, even if they're made up. You get to do things that feel more real to you, more authentic, more meaningful than anything in your own life. You get to speak poetry words, which you would never think to say, but which become yours as you speak them. Anyways, as an actor for so many years, you know, I haven't ever heard anything that felt so real to me, you know, because a lot of my life I held back until I, you know, finally was like, okay, I'm going to get a different job, blah, blah, blah. We make these changes because we have to provide for our family. And I just, it's the part about, like, when you're on stage, you get to play the most exciting parts, right? And speak poetry. And, like, my dumbass is saying, you know, just living my world and being like, you know, here's what I can do about. I don't know. You know, I love us, what we do. But I'm just saying it moved me so much. And it was exciting. It was sad, but it was exciting.
Yeah. It's funny. I don't know that play at all. I wonder if it's been produced in New York before.
I don't think it has. It was produced in 2013 originally, and then they brought it back, I think, with the same actress like 10 years later in 2024 or something like that. But they should do it, because I was watching, I'm not finished with it yet, but it's good. I think I think whoever would get that part, it's a matey role, you know?
Yeah. I'll have to keep an eye out.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I feel like I had a subscription to that for like a minute, but it's just like another thing that I was like, oh,
yeah.
Gosh,
I mean,
so
and you
things.
Gotta watch it, right? Like,
right. Well, the topic that I wanted to talk about, because it's something that I've been curious about for particularly the last couple of weeks, is we sort of touched on this last week. You weren't in an actual evacuation zone, were you? But you were near enough that you thought that you should just like take the day. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. It was just across the street that was the evacuation zone.
Right. So this is what I'm curious about. And once again, I hope that you feel comfortable talking about this.
Yeah.
What do you say to what did you say to your kids? How do you talk to your kids about situations like that? Because they have to be scary.
Yeah, they were scared. You know, part of me leaving so early is me knowing that I can handle it, because we're not in the actual, you know, we're not running. The fire is not across the street. You know what I mean?
Right.
And when I'm scared, maybe I would probably just be like a little, like, really terrified. Maybe I'd be a little more curt with them. But like, we just got in the car and they were like, you know, I was like, they were like, where are we going? Why'd you take us out of school? I was like, well, there's a fire. And I was just honest. I was like, I feel nervous. And so I just wanted to take you guys, and we're going to go meet Dad, and we're going to go see Avrin, and we're going to have lunch with her. And, you know, they can see the smoke and they're like, I'm scared. And I said, I know, you know what? I'm scared too. And it's okay to be scared, but I think we're making a good decision right now. Honestly, that's kind of it. And then that night they were both freaked out, especially my older one, because, you know, she's thinking about her friends who are all right, you know, in the neighborhood still.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think there's the evacuation orders for a reason. You know, they're not going to say, oh, stay there and then you're all dead. You know, I was just nervous about like getting out. Being in traffic makes me nervous too, and being stuck or whatever. So anyways, but I just explained to her, I was like, you know, everybody's listening to the, you know, watch duty app. And I just honestly was as simple and clear and honest as possible, because, you know, you can't lie to them. They especially my kids in their age group, you know, in a different way. Like, for example, my grandma passed away, and, you know, I've had a few people in my life die, and, you know, I've had to bring the kids with me, and I've been as, you know, sort of honest with them as possible about what happened, and I'm there for comfort, you know. And I just, that's all I can do. I don't know what else to do. Uh-huh. You know, that's my way to handle it. But it is scary. And it's also like, you know, if something happened to me or Adam, that's my biggest fear, is then they would be, I'm just like, I feel like they'll get over, you know, some trauma. As long as they're safe, they'll eventually find a way through it and get, but like, if I can't keep them safe, then I'm like, that's my, that sort of like holds my fear, or that sort of motivates my actions too. I'm like, you know, we're just going. And right. I sent you the picture. It was like black behind the school. Now the wind shifted and it went a different way, thank God. But it was like, it felt really close to me. And I know, obviously I'm not like an expert, and most people just stayed and people weren't, they're like, oh, I was just waiting it out. But part of me was like, you know, also the air quality, and my son has asthma, and I'm just like, we're going to go. We're going to walk. We're going to go.
Right.
So it's like, I know what I can handle, and talking to them is just as, you know, I think if they were asking too many questions, I'd be like, stop talking. Let's just get out of here.
All right. Well, I'm glad that you were safe. I'm glad that it seems like the worst of it's behind us.
Yeah, I think so. It's about to rain for 4 days straight, so that might be a different Wonderful. Problem for some people who have.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, but for now, with the winds, the Santa, what are they called?
Santa Ana winds.
Those are fucking crazy. It's crazy how strong they are, and that season has about left us, I think. So in that way, yeah, I think we're. And it also makes me feel better, like in the summer when there are fires, it's less like fast moving, you know?
Right.
Still scary, and it still can destroy homes, but our firefighters are so trained, they know how to like put perimeters and do all these things. I've learned a lot, so, you know. Mm.
Yeah, some of the footage they were showing of the winds, and I was shocked. I was like, that's crazy. Like, it literally looks, yeah, insane. So I, you know, we've kind of been playing with the could do without, because I kind of thought like could do without. When I first started it, the idea was like, I broke a nail. And then I know that sometimes we get into like much more deep things than that. But the reason why I've sort of like moved it to after topic is because I feel like it can kind of combine with random some days. Because
yeah,
like
cool.
My can do without this week is just a random thing that I've actually had in my notes for like probably over a year, but okay. I've never gotten to it. So I don't know if you have anything you could do without or anything you want to talk about.
Sure. Okay. So it's not dark today. Yay. My could do without actually is because I'm loving that book, you know, and there's so many good like snippets that I'm like, I don't want to forget this. You know, I could do without the fact that it just in one ear out the other. I mean, it inspires me in the moment. But I did write one down. So my random thing, I'm going to end with my random thing. The grass is not always greener on the other side. The grass is greener where you water it. Boom.
Oh,
isn't that nice? I like that.
That's good. That's very good. We probably should have ended with that because mine is a little bit negative, but we'll go negative and then we'll laugh about something after that. And it's simply this. So this sort of came up when I was watching the Grammys at Annabelle's, because that's like Annabelle's Oscars. Like, yeah, that's her. Between that and the Super Bowl, like these are two Sundays in a row that are kind of like her sweet spot.
Yeah. I love it.
And, you know, here's the thing. I don't dislike Birds of a Feather, the Billie Eilish song. I get that it's very catchy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very pretty. And like, I remember like listening to the album the first time because she had, I think maybe she'd already released the follow-up single to Lunch or whatever. And I can't even think of what the name of it is. It's kind of a weird song. And it's like, well, this isn't, clearly Birds of a Feather is supposed to be the second single from this album. And like the world agreed and kind of made it be so. Here's my only issue with that song. And it's going to lead me into my bigger issue. And I 100% understand this is me taking something too seriously. Totally get it that it's on me. But I still think the point is worth making that Birds of a Feather lives in a category of song that I don't enjoy. And that is the category of I'm Nothing Without You.
Oh.
Because I just think it's a dangerous message. I think it's a dangerous way of thinking. I think it's a dangerous way of our society being like, you are nothing. Listen, this is not just about me being single. I enjoy being single. But like there is like you are not nothing without someone else. You are not nothing without something else. I think about it in award ceremonies. And once again, say what you want and have your moment. But when someone wins and is like, this is nothing if I didn't have you to come home to. I'm like, right. I am single and childless and I would like an Oscar. And I think that I would appreciate as much as someone who, you know, does have. I don't know. And
I agree.
That kind of goes into my least favorite phrase that someone used a couple weeks ago. And like, starting a family is like the most infuriating phrase to me. You're not starting a family. You might be growing a family or building a family. You're not starting a family. Anyway, that's all.
Interesting.
That's just, and partly, maybe part of it is my singlehood that gets irritated every once in a while. But Just a topic that I wanted to bring up.
Well, I'm thinking of my kids. I don't want them to think they're not, they don't, you know what I mean? Like when I'm bringing up these children, I want them to be, love themselves. And
it's so dangerous. You know what I mean? It is what, I do think it is what leads to like people who become obsessive and people who become stalkers or like, I think there is something about like looking for, nobody completes you. Like you complete me is such a dangerous phrase. And I know that's not how he intended it to be, but it's really dangerous.
Yeah.
You complete you. You are the only thing that can complete you. Nothing outside of you can do it. So that's all. So I think that is an inspirational way to end.
I actually do too. I don't think
the grass is greener where you grow it and you complete you.
Yeah, that's right. Where you water it. Isn't that fun?
Where you water it.
Like I think that's interesting. Yeah. And I was also like, okay, whatever. I'm not going to go on. But the idea of like what we think about really manifests. It's like where your energy goes or whatever, where your thoughts go, your energy flow. I don't know. Anyways, but it's true. And it's hard when you're in moments of like pure crisis to get yourself, how are you going to think positive? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Right.
So that's part of my struggle, Mike, with the whole people in office and stuff. It's like, I can't just think positive, but I can't think positive. I just think scared. And please don't put me in a chamber and kill me.
Yeah, well.
Or take my money. Don't suck my money out of without me knowing. I'm also like, should I just get a safe and start putting cash in a safe? I'm just kidding. But also, what the fuck?
Constant vigilance. I guess that's the other thing that I, well, but also mental health. It's hard. So much to balance. All right. Well,
I love you.
I love you so much.
I love you so much.
And we'll do this again next week, huh?
Sounds good. Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks for going on our journey
today. Stay safe and be happy. Yeah.
Right. Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex in the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores, and email us at MikeandVanyaCan'tNot@gmail. We'll be back next week. Well, I'm single and childish. I am that as well. I am single.